It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Last week, the United States Armed Forces waged a brilliant, heroic rescue of two American pilots whose planes had been shot down. They were ejected from their planes. We scrambled all kinds of aircraft, special forces on the ground. One of them was rescued right away. The other tended his own wounds, scaled a mountain, sent out a signal saying God is good. This plan evidently started taking shape years ago after that botched helicopter raid under the Carter administration, when the new regime after Iran's revolution held many Americans hostage in the Iranian embassy. And look at the difference. Now, you wouldn't think anybody, even from the left, could find a way to criticize this. It's nothing but heroism, the rescue of lives. Anything else from the Trump administration? Sure. They'll call for his impeachment if he sneezes. But a daring rescue? We wouldn't expect anybody to have the gall to criticize that, would we? Well, MS Now anchor Lawrence O'Donnell found a way. You really have to track and focus to follow this one. It was right after a military press conference. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, feeling very elated, as well he should, about this rescue, reminded us, "We leave no man behind." Now, what's wrong with that? We didn't leave these men behind. We rescued them. We leave no man behind. Well, you see, the problem is he said man. He didn't include the word woman. But the real recent statement causing the left to come unglued is Trump's talk about destroying the Iranian civilization. He was referring to their infrastructure. He was referring to bridges, roads, electric grids. But here's how he phrased it. And the phraseology was a promise, or you could say threat, of what would happen if they didn't accept his peace deal, which Trump always tries to make. He's always looking for a peace deal. I don't think he should be dealing anymore with the Iranians. They're not trustworthy. I admire what Trump's trying to do. I don't like these deals. But anyway, he's trying to make a deal. He doesn't want to do this. Nevertheless, he's using a threat. He says a whole civilization will die tonight, never to be brought back again. That was what was going to happen if they didn't agree to at least begin discussing a deal, which finally there was some kind of agreement, a two-week ceasefire. My friends, Trump was using hyperbole. Again, he meant the bridges. He meant the power plants. He meant the roads. When infrastructure and the ability of a regime to continue is neutralized, the society is destroyed for all intents and purposes. He was not talking about genocide. If he had any desire for genocide or war at all, why would he keep offering these deals? This is very similar to questions I get all the time as a Christian apologist regarding Old Testament wars. If you look at the book of Deuteronomy, God commanded the Israelites to go into these nations of Canaan. Now, they were evil nations that were sacrificing babies on the altar, and God wanted to rescue children from that kind of horrific fate. But extreme hyperbolic language that was common with the ancient Near East at that time was used. And God said, completely destroy the men, women, children. It was said poetically. It was a kind of poetry in those days. But people don't understand that today. Bible critics will take this out of context and say God was commanding genocide. They don't really believe in this God, but they'd say if your God exists, he was commanding the Israelites to commit genocide. He told them to go in and destroy the Canaanites, the Jebusites, a whole list of other nations. Couple of problems. Years later, during the time of King Solomon, and this is hundreds of years later, these peoples still existed. Was their land conquered? Yes, but all the women and children were not destroyed. How could the people have still survived? And Solomon put them into pressed servitude. Also, you go to the end of the book of Joshua. This command given under Moses was carried out eventually under Joshua. It said everything the Lord commanded Joshua to do, he did. So apparently Joshua thought he had finished the job. My friends, hyperbole. This happened years later when the prophet Jeremiah warned the Israelites what would happen if they didn't stop their idol worship. He said the Babylonians would attack you, and he used words like completely destroy. But the Babylonians didn't completely destroy them. They took them into captivity for 70 years. We do this today. Somebody comes home from a football game. How did we do? Oh, we murdered them. We massacred them. We took their faces and wiped off the football field with them. What we mean is, we won. Hyperbole. But anyway, back to Trump and Iran. There was a deal made, at least the preliminary discussions for a deal, a two-week ceasefire. So now, this Trump, who people are accusing of being a warmonger, makes a peace deal. And what do the exact same Democrat critics do? They accuse him of being a chicken. Trump caved. He chickened out. My friends, the Democratic Party leadership of today is made up of loudmouthed, hypocritical, lying, self-serving snakes who can't even keep track of their own spewed venom. Now I know what some of you are thinking right now. Bob, you claim to be a Christian, and yet look at how you talk about people. I do understand your point. Let me explain. You see, all I'm really trying to say is that the Democratic Party leadership is made up of loudmouthed, hypocritical, lying, self-serving snakes who can't even keep track of their own spewed venom. Now, Iran, as part of this deal, has released a list of demands. There's some controversy over it. Trump claims they say one thing in private negotiations, another thing publicly. But however it happened, here's a list that was put out. I'm not reading everything from the list, just some of the key ones. The United States must end all primary and secondary sanctions against Iran. Iran is to continue full control over Hormuz. There needs to be a withdrawal of U.S. forces from the Middle East. The release of frozen Iranian assets. Oh, and the United States also has to compensate Iran for damage incurred during the war. Reparations. Other than that, they get to continue enriching their uranium. Gee. Anything else? Well, naturally, Trump has his own list of demands, including a removal of all nuclear-enriched uranium. Let's assume Iran agrees to everything. Let's just say for a moment that they finally agree to all this. It's meaningless. But as it happens, no sooner was the ceasefire announced that strikes against Israel continued from Iran and also from Lebanon, where the Iranian proxy group Hezbollah does their dirty work for them. Now, Iran has been known to agree to conditions in the past, and they're now willing to do so again, supposedly. Maybe. It's kind of hazy. But why would we expect anything to be different this time? Their strategy: delays, talk, procrastination, two steps forward, then one step backwards. What are they waiting for? What's their purpose for delays? Well, it's pretty obvious. They know that China and Russia will eventually rearm them. And of course, as they wait out the years, knowing that Trump isn't going to be president forever, there's the hope that idiot, worthless, feckless Democrats will come back into power. Oh, wait! Wait, speaking of Democrats, Biden took care of Iran, didn't he? Back in 2023, he said that if they were planning to attack Israel after the October Hamas attack, if Iran was going to get involved, he said, I just have one word for them. Don't. Well, after they got off the floor laughing, they did. But let me tell you something, my friends. The real war with Islamic terror is going on right here in the United States. Keep an eye on the Democrat politicians, like Michigan Democratic Senator candidate Abdul El-Sayed. He recently defended his decision to appear with a very controversial podcaster, Hassan Piker. There was this planned rally together. Over the passage of time, Piker has made all kinds of statements. He said America was responsible for 9/11. He also talked about that October attack from Hamas to Israel where Jewish women were raped. Here was his statement. It doesn't matter if rapes happened on October 7th. It doesn't change the dynamic for me. Gee, I thought the Democrats were the party of protection for women. And now they campaign with somebody who doesn't care if women get raped. Oh yeah, these are just Jewish women. They don't count. Well, how did Saeed defend campaigning with a guy like this? He said, just because you appear with somebody, that doesn't mean you agree with them on everything. Oh, got it. Thanks for explaining. Mr. Saeed, if you're campaigning with an anti-Semitic pig, it makes you an anti-Semitic pig. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, hello, Bob. How are you doing this?
Good. How was your Easter?
It was so much fun. Russell, I think, found every single egg, hopefully. And if not, I accidentally sat on one, or I'll find some melted chocolate somewhere on the floor here and there.
So. I'm going to go out on a limb and say your Easter was probably more fun than Saturday yesterday here at the station.
That's right. Yeah. For those who don't know what happened, unfortunately, we lost power due to the building testing out some power stuff here, and the station was shut down for...
It didn't occur to them that you can't do that to a radio station.
Exactly, right?
So how many hours was it down?
7 hours in total. Yeah.
So my show was not on yesterday. However, if you're looking for it, I do have a podcast which always follows my Saturday show, my Bible show.
Right.
And that podcast usually posts on Tuesday. So if you listen to the podcast, and you can go to the KPRZ website or my website, bobsiegel.net. And I also understand that when that happens, the station will play these shows later. So it's possible you might hear it broadcast, but you wouldn't know when.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe so, the middle of the night. So if you can't sleep,
turn
get
on
up,
KPRZ.
Roll the dice, turn it on. Or don't roll the dice. Since it's a Christian show, just pray.
Didn't you tell me one time they decided to rebroadcast your show during like an early, early morning and you would get truck drivers?
Well, back often. Then they were just doing it. It had nothing to do with there being a problem. Every week they would do it in the time I was doing it live, and they would rebroadcast. And I got more people contacting me from those listening in the middle of the night. I remember asking one guy, because one guy at church came up to me, says, "Hey, I heard your show at 4 a.m. I said, "I got to just ask you, because I hear this from everybody. Who listens to the radio at 4 a.m? He says, "Well, all night security guards, truck drivers." He just gave me a list. I said, "Wow, you know, I guess that isn't a bad time to listen to radio."
It's not. Yeah. A lot of less interruptions. That's for sure. So, and also just different programming to listen to on the radio than the same 5 songs on the radio that get played often.
Oh, so. Yeah. Those oldie stations, when they play the top 100, they play them so much, it sounds like they're only playing about 10.
Oh,
it's like,
it's
boy,
true.
If I hear "If a Man Loves a Woman" one more time.
I didn't know that was your cutoff, Bob. But okay,
well, yeah. That wasn't a song I ever liked much anyway. It was just mediocre. But hearing it a gazillion times, that made me hate it.
You can cut it off from there, yeah. So I did want to respond a couple of things to your monologue, because the big news is obviously U.S. was not able to cut an agreement with Iran.
Although Trump says apparently we're going to still try to have other talks with them. But you know Trump. He'll say that. And he might wait a week, he might wait 2 days, he might wait 3 hours, and then just go bomb them again.
It's
what
true.
They have said is we're going to go and start a blockade in the Strait of Hormuz.
That's right. And that's a huge, huge portion for Iran, because that's one of their biggest ways to make money.
Well, when I first heard that, I'm going, who are they going to blockade? Because Iran's not sailing ships out of there.
No.
Countries that go in and pay the extortion toll to Iran, we're going to stop them, which means we could be blockading allies.
Right, exactly. And not to mention, too, Iran said because of this disagreement, they were going to raise the tolls even higher. So that was going to anger even more countries too.
They
on that.
Must
so no one's
still
any
live
friends.
In a delusionary world and think they're dealing with Biden and Obama. Although
it might.
I don't know how they could be feeling that way after the last 40, 50 days.
Yeah. By the way, if you guys were wondering, this was 21 straight hours of talk agreements for peace, but nothing came about.
Brendan, did you believe for a second that Iran... Well, let me put it this way. Do you believe Iran's going to agree to anything? B, if they do agree, do you really think it's going to make a hill of beans of difference?
The second one is the main point I was going
to
make.
It doesn't matter. They'll agree to anything. And right now, they're not even agreeing. But even if they did, big whip, it's not going to happen.
My biggest thing was, if anything, this kind of hinders, I would say, J.D. Vance in the process, because he was the one that was negotiating the whole thing. Now, there are rumors that Trump was constantly in his ear over and over about, no, here's...
Well, Vance said he was given very explicit instructions, so he wouldn't have made any decision apart from Trump.
Right. I think... I kind of wish Vance was able to, but at the same time...
It would have been good for him politically.
Yes, exactly. Now,
but frankly, what if he had, Iran would have broken the agreement, and then it would have been bad for him politically.
Exactly. And I was going to say, but like I said, the second part of your statement is absolutely true. I can't trust Iran as far
they've
as I can
made all kinds of deals in the past. They've broken every single one of them.
Did you hear what Iran demanded in the peace agreements? Because some of this stuff is some of the most ridiculous.
Well, some of them
I've
went over in my monologue. If they have some other... that they did while they were in person.
Did you have the payment of war reparations?
Yes, I had that.
Okay, good. I might have missed that part. Yeah. So that was one of the things.
It was like a Santa's wish list.
Yeah, the release of frozen assets
abroad.
Yeah,
that one. I went through that one.
Yeah, so some of that, it's just, no, you're the one that caused this whole situation to occur. So why would we be...
Thing is, if they'd have been dealing with Obama, he would have given it to them.
Oh, 100%. I believe he
would
fold it.
Although he would never have done any damage to pay them reparations for in the first place.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Now, going back to Trump, he said some comments about we have some allies are helping us in this situation, but immediately afterwards all the allies were saying, no, we're not doing any of that stuff. Have you heard this statement before?
Well, there are allies. Our allies in the Middle East are doing a better job than our allies in Europe. I heard that the European countries are starting to come around, though.
Oh, okay, because here's what I was able to read. Trump said that allies will assist in the blockade of the strait, but which American allies he was referring to was remaining unclear during his interview. This was with Fox News Sunday Morning Futures. I think is the name of the
program. Unless Iran has another long-range missile and they fire it upon London, I don't know that Europe's going to think this is their war.
Well, here's what he said on Fox. He said, the United Kingdom and a couple of other European countries are sending...
Well, maybe in the Eastern Bloc. Eastern Bloc European countries who once lived under communism, they have wised up far more than our Western allies.
Probably, but I'm not entirely sure. He didn't specify, and when he was asked to clarify and specify, he said, I can't right now because we're still very early in this whole process, he said. So I completely concur with him saying it's too early. But as for which ones, I would be kind of... That's
I can't
the
right now because I just made that up and I don't know what to
that's
say.
That's probably what it is, I'm going to guess.
I don't know. But anyways, I love Trump, but who knows?
He doesn't have a filter, that's for sure.
It could have been just... He's assuming it'll happen. He's hoping it'll happen, but it's not concrete.
Exactly. Yet. So here's what he said specifically again. The United Kingdom and a couple of other countries are sending minesweepers to help free the strait for safe passage. However, immediately after this, the BBC reported that the UK would not be assisting with the blockade, saying, in quote from a spokesperson from the UK government, we continue to support freedom of navigation and the opening of the Strait of Hormuz, which is urgently needed to support the global economy and the cost of living back home. So they're focused on their...
Let me translate that the BBC. We've been kissing up to the Muslim immigrants in England for decades now, even allowing them to have Sharia law in places, even schools being pressured to stop teaching about the Holocaust because it offended the Muslims. And that's a large part of their citizenship and voting base now. And that's why they're afraid.
I would agree on that. My other point of view, too, is the fact that, again, look at how much the cost of gas is everywhere around the world. I mean, Dave Stahl was pointing it out throughout his whole show. Japan, it's $20. In the UK, specifically, $15 a gallon. We're lucky enough in California that it's $6. It could be cheaper, but we have a certain person in the...
Trump said something. I think he said it just today. He says, you want to see gas go up? Give Iran a nuclear bomb and let them use it.
Exactly.
Then ask about the price of gas.
Exactly. Trump also criticized NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, for not offering assistance in policing the strait. I mean, I could have told you that a long
time
ago.
They've been worthless for years. Trump's just the first president to come out and say it.
Again, I played that clip where not a single person in NATO was willing to help us in the whole situation when we were trying to describe the actual dangers that are coming out of Iran. They were all silent, sitting with their hands on their lap.
Basically. We feel we need to give peace a chance. In other words, we need to keep kissing the behinds of our Muslim citizens.
Giving Iran what they want, basically. Last thing to note, that he said that Trump has also suggested that he expects U.S. allies in the Gulf to assist. And he said, quote, they're already started. He didn't say what details of how they started, and that they're much closer, so maybe they have to do it. But Iran made a big mistake, and they started lobbing missiles at them. That's what he says, end quote.
Again, I think those allies were the Middle East allies who
I think so.
Weren't having much of a problem with Iran, but they do now.
And again, I'm not surprised by him not specifying which ones in particular, but I do know that information is going to get leaked at some point.
Well, and even if he knew the list, he talks off the cuff. He doesn't have a teleprompter in front of him. He's not always going to remember the name of every country.
I think the biggest thing he did for sure out of this whole entire situation was mentioning that any country that's willing to assist Iran is going to get a 50% tariff.
Yeah, now I don't know how that's going to play with the Supreme Court that just limited and curtailed his tariff things, although they didn't limit all of them. So we'll see how it plays out.
I think this one sticks out, especially
because it's more about national defense.
Exactly, yeah. And the other thing, too, is this is going to be quite interesting because I don't know if you heard this. Next month, Trump is supposed to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping as well. So this is going to be quite interesting because China's been really hands-on with Iran, too, according to international
reports.
Well,
that's why Iran's stalling. They're assuming that China and Russia will rearm them.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're hoping that the Democrats will take back the House and then pass a resolution stopping the war. So they feel that time is on their side. And you know what? They're right. That's why I think we need to, well, because I think it's very possible that the Dems could take back the House. It would be horrible.
I hate to use Trump's repeated phrases, but I think he has all the cards in his hands. I think the U.S. is way ahead of Iran in this whole situation.
Well, he is, but I think he needs to finish the job because if the talks keep stalling, we could get into the midterms and then Trump could be cut off at the knees.
I could see that because, again, that's what Dave Stahl was mentioning earlier, too, is that we need to focus on midterms now at this
point. Absolutely. And again, I know I've said this a gazillion times over the air. If you're one of those people that only likes to vote for Trump, but you don't want to vote for Republicans in midterms, you are voting for Trump this time, because if the Democrats take back the House, they will impeach him. And if they take back the Senate, they will convict him, and then they will throw him in jail. So think about that when you decide to stay home.
Absolutely. I know I can go on and on about this whole Iran agreement for sure, but I have other stories to get to for sure too as well. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I have a very interesting story about a local San Diego judge who is retiring, but I do have some worries about it at the same time. So I'll tell you guys more about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Some good news from our friend Jim Barrier. For at least the last week and a half or so, he has been home from the hospital, recovering very nicely. We hope to see him back on the air soon. Probably be at least another month or so, but we hope to see him back on the air soon, and we wish him the best. And please continue to hold Jim in your prayers.
Absolutely. I've been listening to some of your reruns of Jim Barrier. And
we do an annual Easter one that I did with him.
Yeah, good chemistry, and I miss him so much. So I'm glad to hear that his health is coming back, and thank you for the updates too, Jim, if you're listening. Thank you so much, because I always worry and think about you and keep you in my prayers. So thank you so much for doing what you're doing and fighting the good fight out there, and we hope to get you back on the air soon. So we're talking about a recent judge that has just retired about 10 days ago. This is U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez. He was a judge for 22 years. Benitez is 75, attributing his decision to his age, health, and desire to spend more time with his children and grandchildren for his retirement. But this is a huge portion of why I want to bring this up. He is a huge Second Amendment judge. He ruled on some of the biggest cases that even went all the way up to the Supreme Court. So one of the big examples, obviously, was striking down California's longstanding ban on assault weapons, in which Benitez compared the AR-15 to a Swiss Army knife. Now, of course, he had his proponents, like Governor Newsom, who said, quote, Benitez is a stone-cold ideologue and a wholly-owned subsidiary of the gun lobby and the National Rifle Association. Benitez, in retort, said, I just follow the law. Whatever it says in the Constitution, I just follow it. So very
Newsom doesn't know shoe polish from licorice. Who cares what that guy has to say?
It's true. The other thing I do want to mention too is that Benitez has been hailed a hero and a patriot by California gun enthusiasts, who's also nicknamed him Saint Benitez. He's done so many really amazing things. Now, there are some things about him that were very controversial for sure. For example, he asked to put a 14-year-old into handcuffs because she kept interrupting the court proceedings. Many people thought you could have just kicked her out, but he said, quote, "I wanted to scare her straight to understand that you don't interrupt my court proceedings."
I'm not saying he absolutely needed to do that. Perhaps it was extreme. I wasn't there.
No.
But sometimes people can act like such entitled brats these days, and they get away with it if they're minors. Maybe her getting a little bit scared didn't really hurt her all that much.
I agree. And besides, I've seen the actual A&E show Beyond Scare Straight. Those kids seem to like understand, okay, this is not the life I want to do. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, really shape up really good.
Now, some judges are elected, some are appointed. Was he appointed or elected?
He was actually appointed by George W. Bush.
So Trump can appoint the next one.
That's correct.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. But I do worry about this because, again,
sometimes we have stealth conservatives who say one thing.
Exactly.
Like some of the people in our Supreme Court, for example.
I'm looking at a few of you in that court system for sure. Nevertheless, that's what I do worry about with this whole retirement situation. So one of the things
and there's a lot of Republicans retiring from Congress.
It's true.
During a very crucial midterm year.
Or they just decided to just flat out drop out too.
They ought to just have enough foresight to say, this isn't about me. Okay, you want to spend more time with your family. Our country's in jeopardy. Stay with it.
Now, I'm a little bit okay with this one because, again, he was already semi-retired back in, I'm going to read this, 2017, I want to think.
And he's probably confident that Trump will appoint a good person. He's not leaving it up to a California election.
Exactly. The other thing mentioning this was that during his 10-year stretch as a U.S. district judge, about 14% of his court cases were actually reversed or vacated by the Circuit Court of Appeals and even further down in the Supreme Court, which it makes him the highest out of the entire state of California. So meaning that his rulings didn't really matter much down the line. But at the same time, absolutely putting your stance on what you believe in was what he was supposed to be. And that's what a judge is supposed to do. They're supposed to look at the law of the land, not make up their own laws, not do this whole judicial review situation, because that was taken out of proportion for sure back in Marbury versus Madison back in the early 1800s. You had a whole
spiel about it. Started a very bad precedent.
Exactly. Another one that was kind of controversial to at least the Liberal Party, Benitez sided with two Escondido Union school district teachers and local parents in a ruling that gave parents the constitutional right to be informed if their child changes their gender presentation at school, and schools can't hide the information from parents as well. This later was...
So he ruled for the parents.
He ruled in for... Yeah, which is, I think, in an agreement. I would like
You'd
to be informed of everything.
That would just be basic common sense, but these days it takes some heroics to do that.
Exactly, yeah. So, again, while I am very, very happy that he's retired, he's found some happiness and some joy. The other thing, too, I do want to mention is that every scrutiny or controversial thing the media would ask him, he would stay quiet, not say a word. He would basically said, I'm just doing what the law is telling me to do and move on to the next court case.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. Exactly. I hate it when judges try to pedal back or say, well, here's the entire point of my reasoning. Their reasoning is how they ruled. That's it. Move on, get to the next court case.
And it should be written in their opinion anyway. They shouldn't have to go and explain.
Exactly. I agree. So overall, again, I do worry about who Trump appoints at this point here, but at the same time, I am very happy with how his career went as well. So congratulations to U.S.
Let's just be glad it's not Kamala appointing the next one.
Are you trying to hit at my next story coming up after the break? Is that what you want to do? Okay. Well, again, congratulations to U.S. District Judge Roger Benitez. Thank you for your service, and we await to see what happens next with your retirement and who gets appointed into that district office. So when we return to the Bob Siegel Show, unfortunately, Kamala Harris.
Kamala, the Mamala, just dropped a new Bamala.
Yeah. I like that. I'm going to use that. We'll be right back.
Looking for a church that will not only challenge you, but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda, but you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear, but they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to our program. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, as hinted before, Kamala broke a bomala, is how you pronounced it?
Or... Kamala the mamala set off a new bomala.
Let's take a listen to it.
So are you going to run again in 28?
Listen, I might. I'm thinking about it. I know what the job is. And I know what it requires. Look, the American people have a right to expect that anyone who wants to run for office and be a leader, that it can't be about themselves. And what they want for themselves, it's got to be about the American people.
I'm surprised she didn't.
Oh, she's only doing it for the American people.
I'm surprised she didn't end it up with saying, by the way, I just want to remind everyone, I was born in a middle-class family, middle-class land.
Are you going to run again? Well, let me start here. I'm hearing conservatives, pundits all over the airwaves say, oh, please run, please run. Look, I know she lost last time, but a lot of people voted for her. And a lot of people vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar. She could win. So be careful what you wish for. I know she's a glittering jewel of colossal ignorance, but those kinds of people are getting elected. So be careful what you wish for, folks.
Here's my thing. She was appointed, basically, to run after Biden.
Yeah, in the actual election, when she was in the primary, she was the first one to drop out.
I don't think that the Democrats are going to be willing enough to handle her.
Probably not. I don't think she's going to get the nomination. No. I don't really think Newsom's going to get it either. I think it's going to be an unknown at this point.
I know. You still think it's Michelle Obama. I'm surprised by that still.
Oh, so. I'm not saying it's...
I thought you did.
Oh, no, in the last election. I don't think she's going to run this time.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
In previous elections where she kept saying she didn't want to run, I thought she was going to. And I was wrong, and I'm glad she didn't, because she is very popular, although less so since doing that stupid podcast where she does nothing but rail on her husband every week.
I know. My wife shared me the video about, she's like saying, you know, ketchup is for kids. If you're an adult and you're ketchup, I wish there was a law that would arrest you guys. I'm like, geez Louise.
Obama's probably going, please run for president so you can at least stop that podcast.
So my point of view about this whole situation is that I don't think Kamala should have even thought about running for presidency personally. I think she has a lot of things that don't make her a good enough candidate. I mean, besides our kind of criticisms of her in the first place. I mean, we're looking at the Minnesota governor that she decided to choose Tim Walz as a bad example.
Yeah, Elmer Fudd as vice president.
Yeah. Honestly, she should have kept her standings in running for governor of California. And again, I don't like her. I'm just thinking in a political...
Well, I've heard some scuttlebutt that maybe with this shakeup with Swalwell that she may just go and run for governor.
That's what
now.
I'm thinking, yeah. Too. And I think that would be a better chance of winning an election again for her.
But I was I mean, Swalwell's probably getting what he deserves. I know a man's innocent until proven guilty, but I don't like the guy. So anyway,
yeah.
Just because of his positions. And I'm sure Fang Fang's very jealous these days. But his dropping out is not necessarily good news for Republicans, because the more Democrats that stay in the race with these jungle primaries, the more they cancel each other out.
It's true.
Fewer Democrats mean that the Democrat voters rally around one Democrat, and then the Republican vote gets split.
It's true. I mean, again, they were talking about in the last era that Trump should have never endorsed Steve Hilton in the whole process, because again, that will start splitting the votes between Steve Hilton and Sheriff Chad Bianco as well. But
yeah, and Trump's endorsement is not always an automatic guarantee. He's endorsed some candidates who have lost.
It's true, I know that, but at the same time, there's no denying there's voters out there who are, I'm 100% behind Trump and whatever Trump says and whatever Trump endorses.
True.
So therefore,
now I do hope it's Hilton. I really like him.
Mm-hmm. Again, either candidate will do fine for me. I think there
weren't you saying a few weeks ago you had some concerns about Chad Bianco? Now, yeah. I interviewed him on the radio. I really liked the guy back then, but I haven't been following his career much since
then. Was the leaked photo about the Black Lives Matter. He said that he was trying to dodge something that was being thrown at him when a picture taken at the right exact moment showed him kneeling in front of.
Oh, so he denies that he was kneeling.
Correct. He
well, at least he's not wearing the kneeling as a badge of honor. You got to give him credit for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was a one-time situation. I don't know about the whole thing, but personally, again, either candidate would do much better, but you would say Bart Simpson.
Pond scum would do better than a Democratic candidate.
My worry about this now for Kamala, if she does get the nomination, who's her vice president candidate going to be? Because I bet you and I both know who it could possibly be. And it would be one of the worst scenes in the whole wide world.
Oh, Mrs. You're in My Shot?
Yes.
You think it would be her?
I think so. Well, if not, AOC could be even that candidate. And I would hate to have that happen.
I think AOC has her eye on Senator.
I think so. Chuck, I think Schumer's so, too. Seat. But you never know.
He's
going
to kiss up to them as much as he can. And guess what, Chuck? They're going to replace you anyway.
Very true. Very soon. All right. Well, we got one more segment left. Huge, huge international news. We're going to be talking about the election results of Hungary. And I mean, this is huge for a reason. So stay tuned and I'll explain why when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Beautiful music is Scarborough Fair, as played by Celtic Women, which wonderful singers, but this was a musical. interlude. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
I just enjoy all the music that you put on, Bob Siegel. I mean,
we play some pretty beautiful music. Now, some people don't like the mellow. I like the hard rock pieces, and I also like the mellow pieces.
So I just like how both of them. I just like how eclectic
it is. It is very eclectic. I've been told that by listeners.
Yeah, you go from that Celtic Woman piece to the Mamas and Papas, Billy Joel. I think some Beatles songs are in there too.
Yeah, so. And I play my bumper music a little longer because I love the old disc jockey shows, and I love talk radio, and I've always dreamed of a show that was more of a hybrid. This is not exactly that, but I wanted to take a few steps closer that direction.
I mean, one of the big ones for me for sure is the Christmas time. I mean, when you get into the Christmas season, the music there, I love the variety.
And
of
you
it.
Pick a lot of those for us.
I sure do. Yeah. Yes, and I remember we play a repeat show where you actually play an entire Carpenter song.
Oh yeah.
Again, when I was little, did not like Carpenters at all. But now that I'm much older,
she has a beautiful alto voice. Oh, just a beautiful alto voice.
And you know what? I so appreciate the Carpenters now more than I ever did. So.
I should say yesterday's show, which nobody heard, had Keith Green singing the Easter song in its entirety.
But
you like the music? Check out the one you didn't get to hear yesterday.
Look it up for your own folks out there, because it is a great, great song. I remember I played it on the Bob Siegel show once, and it really is a beautiful piece of music there. All right. International news. Hungary has now officially finished their election.
Now, is this like, I know they are one of the Eastern Bloc countries. Is this one of the ones, like I was saying, that they're a better government than some of the European nations?
They used to be, but not anymore.
You don't think they are anymore?
No. Viktor Orban, he was their president for over 16 years, I believe.
Yep, 16 years. Did some flaming liberal get in his place?
Well, political analysts have actually said the person that won is more of a center-right political campaignist. This
Everybody claims to be the center when they run. Look
exactly.
At that person that just won in Virginia.
I was going to say Viktor Orban is completely conservative. One of the interesting facts, I do not suggest you watch his piece, but John Oliver did a huge, huge 30-minute hit piece on this guy, talking about he started off as a liberal, but the more he continued in the Hungarian government, he actually turned more conservative with a lot of his ideology.
This is the guy that's been president.
That's correct.
Who's stepping down.
Exactly. Now, one of the things I did want to mention is that 45% of the votes were tallied. This guy's name is Tisza, I think is how you pronounce it. Or sorry, the Tisza party. I'm sorry. They projected to win 135 out of the 199 seats in the Hungarian legislature. Peter Magyar is his name. He's projected to win the Palamary election, bringing in 16-year run of Viktor Orban, who was a far-right ally of both President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, who both presidents and J.D. Vance himself were there to endorse him in his election runs, but unfortunately it was shown to be
the Tisza party, the party that teases us with election promises.
I like that. Hungarians have found dissatisfaction in the rising living costs, corruption, and crumbling public services that describe the voters as a referendum on Hungary's place in the world. For Republican and European hard right, the leader is seen as a trailblazer. Orban credits himself as being involved in program writing for Trump's policies and strategies since 2022. One of the big ones, obviously, was I'm trying to remember what the governor of Florida had. It was the right to say gay bill or something like that. What was the bill that we talked about?
Oh, the one in Florida, you mean?
Yeah. What was that bill called again?
I don't remember what it was called, but they were claiming you weren't allowed to say gay in the classroom, and that wasn't true. There were certain kinds of teach. They didn't want them to go in and do all the LGBTQ stuff at a kindergarten level.
Exactly. And the other big important one was parents are allowed to come into the classrooms to find out what the kids were learning about.
Absolutely. Like they found out when we all went to Zoom during COVID.
Yes, exactly.
And they were going, this is what I've been paying tax dollars to have my kids listen to?
Exactly. So he was one of the first ones to put out a national law saying, parents, you're allowed to go into the schools to find out what they're learning. And thus it inspired American legislatures, including Donald Trump himself, to say, oh, we should put that into our policies. That's just one of the many, many things that this guy had done before Trump was hearing about it. It was like, I want to implement that policy into my country.
Now, did he have to step down because his terms were up, or did he lose the election?
He just lost the election.
Oh, no.
There is no limit to Hungarian presidency, so he can win as many elections as he wants.
So this is not a good turn from their populace.
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the things to also mention here was this campaign was very, very controversial. I mean, Orban has actually went out to say that there is alleged sex tape plots, wiretapping, and false flag operations within the election, and including specifically Magyar for the alleged sex tape situation, which doesn't look good on Magyar and especially the Hungarian. But apparently the people want to change in Hungary. We'll see how it happens. But that was a huge
open change. Yeah. That sounds good.
I don't know how this is going to work out in the long run for sure. So anyways, Bob, the last thing I did want to mention, since we do have a couple more minutes, is get this. The forecasters have warned us, specifically in San Diego County, that we are supposed to get the worst El Nino winds in 140 years. And this is going to be happening 2 months from now, they said. They're nicknaming this upcoming wind Super El Nino, which means...
So not a storm, just wind itself?
Just wind itself, yeah. Now, my question
is... Do they mean like a hurricane?
They're saying... Wind? Okay, forecasters are saying that it's due to many factors that are considering...
Mostly global warming.
I was about to say it. Darn it, Bob, you got me to it. The other reasoning they said is that there are two cyclones that are actually colliding with each other in the Pacific Ocean, too, that could cause heavy winds towards our area of San Diego, being along the coastline there.
Folks, I'm telling you, if you're excited about the space program, that's another reason not to let the Democrats back in power.
It's true.
They will end the space program in the name of global warming.
It's true. It's true. By the way, why nicknaming it Super El Nino? It sounds like a superhero of all names instead of something like actually tragic or something more damaging. It's Super El Nino is coming.
Yeah, El Nino doesn't sound all that ominous.
It doesn't,
but
no.
The first El Nino was pretty ominous.
It was. And to hear that this is one of the worst ones coming up, I am a little bit skeptical and scared, especially because I live out near the mountain area. I live out in the Santee area, and so it is pretty elevated over there, and I know it's going to be much worse.
Well, just blame Donald Trump for it if it's too bad.
At least that's what the Democrats are going to do.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, Bob, thank you so much for this time.
Brandon, it's always a pleasure.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.